Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Wall Street kicks off a new trading month after May saw the S&P 500 teeter on a bear market.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she got it wrong last year on inflation.
The Fed starts to shrink its $8.9 trillion balance sheet.
And the U.S. ramps up military support to Ukraine.
New York Governor Hochul introduces new gun reform measures, plus the first funerals have begun for the victims of the Texas school shooting. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Blowout wins at home for the Mets and Yankees. Rangers and Lightning play game one at the Garden tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Hey, good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
Stock index futures are mixed this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 115, and NASDAQ futures lower, down 16 now. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 2.86%, and the yield on the two-year 2.57%, and the euro 1.0718 against the dollar. Nathan.
Well, Karen, U.S. stocks begin this month of June after coming off a month where the S&P 500 is basically unchanged, but that does not explain the extreme volatility. During the month of May, the benchmark index surged more than 8% after falling within points of a 20% drop from a record, signifying a bear market. Peter Oppenheimer is chief global equity strategist at Goldman Sachs.
If you look at the history for markets, at least, when you get peak inflation, you do tend to get a recovery in risk assets. And that's generally because it starts to alleviate pressures on interest rates. By that stage, you've usually had markets already pricing in an economic downturn. So at the point where people think that things are bad but getting less bad, you tend to get a recovery.
Goldman Sachs chief global equity strategist Peter Oppenheimer still says he expects markets to be very volatile over the next few months.
Well, helping lift sentiment this morning, Nathan, is corporate earnings. Shares of Salesforce up 8% in early trading. The company raising its annual profit forecast. And we get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It signals demand for business software is holding up in the face of macroeconomic instability. Salesforce said fiscal year earnings, excluding some items, will be as much as $4.76. Analysts on average estimated annual profit of $4.68. Salesforce is the leader in cloud-based customer management software. Now, during the pandemic, the company expanded its products for business productivity with the purchase of the messaging platform Slack at a price of $27.7 billion. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Doug, thanks. Crude oil is also on the rise this morning, right now trading at $116.17 a barrel on the NYMEX. This comes ahead of an OPEC Plus routine meeting tomorrow to discuss supply policy. Ed Morris is Citigroup's global head of commodity research. He says triple-digit oil should be a lot lower.
You have to just look at the cost structure of the industry. You have to look at where new production is coming and where would be coming even if we didn't have $123 Brent. And I'd say it's more in the $70 range than it is in the $120 range.
Citigroup's Ed Morse says demand for oil and refined products is falling as the economy starts bracing for a recession.
Well, Nathan, inflation is still a major focus for markets and the top political challenge for the White House. Now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is admitting she got it wrong last year when she said inflation would only be temporary.
There have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly. That I didn't at the time didn't fully understand, but we recognize that now.
In an interview with CNN, Secretary Yellen said she's encouraged that core prices have started to come down, but she says she can't rule out future shocks.
Well, Secretary Yellen was at the White House yesterday, Karen, for a rare meeting between President Biden and Fed Chair Jay Powell. The president used it to declare that he respects the central bank's independence while shifting responsibility for taming decades-high inflation.
I'm not going to interfere with their critically important work. The Fed has dual responsibilities. One, full employment. Two, stable prices.
This was President Biden's third in-person session with Chairman Powell since taking office.
Well, the Fed will also be in focus today, Nathan. It's set to start shrinking its $8.9 trillion balance sheet. The central bank also releases the Beige Book, and we get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The question is, what will investors learn from the Beige Book that they don't already know? Are there hints in the anecdotal report suggesting some goods or services are seeing prices level off or decline? Will there be any indications the labor market is loosening? Overall, the Beige Book is likely to assess the economy continues to expand at a moderate pace. That's the phrase the Fed usually uses. Consumers are still spending and manufacturers are trying to keep up. The survey is one input into Fed policy decisions, but the central bank has already suggested it's made up its mind to raise rates at the next two meetings. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Now the latest developments on the war. President Biden says he will give Ukraine advanced rocket systems and other weaponry to help in its battle with Russia. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The president made the announcement in a New York Times article published last night. A senior U.S. official tells Bloomberg News the package includes missiles that will allow Ukraine to strike locations as far as 80 kilometers away. And while world leaders have publicly called for such a move, one concern is whether Ukraine would use them to strike targets inside Russia. That would risk expanding the war and pulling in NATO countries. The White House plans to formally announce the new $700 million security assistance package today. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Amy, thank you. Well, President Biden will also be addressing the baby formula shortage in the country. The White House said the president will meet virtually with infant formula manufacturers this afternoon.
Well, finally, Karen, the world's richest man appears to have had it with this whole working from home thing. Tesla CEO Elon Musk weighed in on the debate on Twitter by elaborating on an email he apparently sent to the electric car maker's executive staff. Under the subject line, "Remote work is no longer acceptable," Musk wrote that anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum of 40 hours per week or depart Tesla. S&P futures right now up 6 points as we get ready to kick off the month of June. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 60 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with a little overnight construction on the southbound New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Governor Kathy Hochul introduced a new package of gun reform bills for New York State after mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. It's a total of 10 bills that would tighten New York's gun laws and close loopholes. Hochul says New York already has some of the toughest gun laws in the country, but clearly we need to make them even stronger. Among the proposed legislation is increasing the minimum age required to buy a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21. The victims of last week's mass shooting in a Texas grade school are being laid to rest in Uvalde. The first funerals were held yesterday. A gunman killed 19 children and two teachers. One of those teachers was Ava Morales. Her sister, Maggie Morales Thomas, says she told Governor Abbott if he wants to help, he could change the state's gun laws.
There's no reason why this type of weapon should be among us people here. These things belong in the war. There's no war in the classroom. There's no war out here in Uvalde.
Maggie Morales Thomas says she does not want anyone to forget her sister's name. 17 other people were injured in the shooting. A woman wounded in an April New York City subway shooting has filed a lawsuit against gun manufacturer Glock. In her lawsuit, Eileen Stewart says Glock endangered the public health and safety for the marketing, distribution, and sales of its guns. 10 people were shot and wounded as a man fired dozens of bullets in a subway train full of morning commuters. New York is suspending its gas tax for the rest of the year. It would save 16 cents per gallon, joining Connecticut in suspending the gas tax. Governor Hochul announced the new LIRR terminal in Midtown Manhattan will be named Grand Central Madison.
You're talking about a place as iconic as Grand Central. You can't change that. I mean, this conjures up the images of glory in a time early 1900s, 1911, 1912, when the world was stunned by the majesty of this building itself.
Governor Hochul says it will be completed by the end of this year. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Mets and Yankees both at home. They won by a combined score of 19-1. It was 10-0 for the Mets over Washington. They had 17 hits. Mark Canna had 4. Jeff McNeil 3. Home runs for Starling Marte and Eduardo Escobar. And the Mets have won 5 in a row, scoring 44 runs in those 5 games. 23 runs in the 2 games so far with the Nationals. A day game today at Citi Field. At the stadium, Yanks over the Angels 9-1. 4-run first inning, including a 2-run homer by the newest Yank, Matt Carpenter. Jose Trevino later with a 2-run shot. And plenty of run support for Jordan Montgomery, who normally does not get it. He got his first win. Wild start to the Stanley Cup West Finals. Avs and Oilers in Denver. They combined for 5 goals in the first period, 6 more in the second. The Avs led 7-3. It was cut to 7-6. Colorado held on 8-6. Don't expect a game like that tonight at the Garden as the Rangers and Lightning begin the East Finals. 2 terrific goalies in this series. The Rangers' Igor Shesterkin, Tampa Bay's Andrei Vasilevskiy. The Ranger defenseman is Adam Fox.
There's 2 of the top goalies. Obviously, Vasilevskiy has his track record speak for itself, but I think Shesterkin's kind of does too. What he's done this year has been insanely impressive. So definitely 2 good goalies coming together, and I have a lot of faith in Chester.
The Lightning, 2-time defending Stanley Cup champs, they just won their 10th straight series. They swept Florida, who was the top seed in the East. 59th match between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, who now leads 30-29. Nadal won in 4 sets. He's into the semifinals of the French Open. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 128. That's a gain of 0.4% for the Dow. NASDAQ futures are lower, down 12 points. 10-year Treasury is down 5/32. The yield, 2.86%. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
1 in 3 adults.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by PPAC Gladstone Bank. At PPAC Gladstone Bank, they believe that all banking should be private banking. To learn more, visit pgbank.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures have been struggling for direction amid a debate over the scale of central bank monetary policy tightening needed to fight inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And in futures, they're mixed this morning. S&P futures are up 6 points, Dow futures up 133, and NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.5%. 7%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up $1.83 at $116.49 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1% or $17.70 at $18.30.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0719 against the dollar, British pound 1.2581, the yen at 129.40, and Bitcoin this morning down 0.6% at $31,590. Today we are watching for reports on construction spending and manufacturing at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time, along with the JOLTS jobs report, and the Federal Reserve releases its beige book at 2. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden said he'll give Ukraine advanced rocket systems and other U.S. weaponry to better hit targets in its war with Russia. The White House plans to announce the new $700 million security assistance package today. Since the war began, the U.S. has supplied more than $4.5 billion in military aid. The first funerals for victims of last week's mass shooting at Robb Elementary School began yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets shut out the Nationals 10-0. The Red Sox, Orioles, and A's lost. The Giants won. In the NHL Eastern Conference Finals tonight is Game 1 as the Rangers host the Lightning. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on that top story Michael Barr just mentioned in the news there. President Biden saying he will give Ukraine advanced rocket systems, $700 million in new military assistance, on top of the more than $4 billion that's already been committed. Now the Ukraine war is into its fourth month. Julie Norman joins us now, co-director of the Center for U.S. Politics at University College London. Professor, it's always good to speak with you. Thanks for being with us. This new assistance that President Biden is promising, will it be enough to turn the tide in this war?
Well, good morning, Nathan. And obviously, Zelensky has been pushing the West for higher-level weapon systems from the beginning. This is a weapon system that should help, especially in the offenses in the East, where there's been kind of this ongoing slog of artillery battles. And essentially, what this aid package essentially will offer is long-range rocket systems that can hit targets like 40 to 50 miles away, compared to the howitzers that we currently supply that can hit targets about 18 miles away. So it does give a bit more power in that regard. It's not the longest weapon systems the U.S. has, so it's kind of the mid-range one. Biden was really explicit in his comments on this and writing about it, saying that this is for use for defense within Ukraine's borders, not to target Russia over the border. So very explicit language from Biden, how he sees or wants these weapon systems to be used.
Given how much range these weapon systems do have, 40 to 50 miles, as you say, and given where the war is centered at the moment in eastern Ukraine in the disputed Donbas region, is there a risk that providing these sorts of mid-range weapon systems could widen the war further?
Well, it's certainly a concern, and it's one reason why the administration has been, I would say, a little bit hesitant or reluctant in the past to supply them. You know, Russia has signaled very strongly that they would see this as an escalation. They do see this as increased U.S. involvement. And again, that's why we see these weapons coupled with the very strong messaging from the U.S. that they don't want these to be used offensively over the border, and even more explicit language also from Biden saying that he doesn't want this war to drag on simply to cause pain for Russia. Their goal is simply to try and establish a sovereign Ukraine with the means to defend itself. So a bit more clarifying of messaging from Biden on how and why he sees these weapons being necessary than perhaps we've seen in some of the past weapons releases.
I want to shift from the war in Ukraine to the war on inflation, something that President Biden is being pretty explicit about wanting to focus on now over the next month here. We got that meeting yesterday with Fed Chair Jay Powell, and now this admission on CNN from Treasury Secretary Yellen that she got it wrong when she said that inflation was transitory. What does this say about where the White House is in the fight against inflation?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things here. So the White House is struggling, obviously, on the policy side of reining in inflation, but also on the messaging and the narrative side. And we've seen this shift not only from Yellen, but really from, you know, Biden across the administration. This time last year, everyone pretty much saying that inflation was transitory, temporary. That shifted a bit in the fall with a bit more emphasis on Build Back Better as being the thing that would kind of calm some of the pressure on families. That obviously didn't go anywhere. A shift in the spring to blaming Putin's war. And so now it's really kind of the rubber hitting the road in terms of needing to really confront this as an ongoing issue, something that the White House needs to take control over in terms of both policy and messaging. So I think we'll see some different attempts here. Biden, you wrote a pretty direct op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this week, kind of laying out some of his thoughts on it. But in reality, it's going to be tough for the administration to have a positive message on this. Like, prices are hurting Americans. Over 90% of people are feeling the pain right now and are expressing concern. And there's just not a lot that the Biden administration is going to be able to do about it, especially going into midterms.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Professor. What's the political impact? Is the White House playing catch up here?
Oh, I think they definitely are. And it's just, it's unfortunate that there's not really a good answer here, because you either own that you got it wrong, or you keep trying to peddle a optimistic message that just doesn't align with what people are feeling right now. So it's going to be a challenge for them. They're obviously going to be trying to do what they can. Biden is really emphasizing the independence of the Fed and underscoring that as kind of his political posturing on this is just respecting the Fed and Powell to do their best to handle this.
As always, great to get your thoughts. Thanks so much. Julie Norman, co-director of the Center for U.S. Politics at University College London. Right now, S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 147. NASDAQ futures are lower by 2 points, basically unchanged. 10-year Treasury's down 6/32. The yield, 2.86%. Just ahead, stocks back where they started to kick off June. And Salesforce surging on boosted profit outlook. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PPAC Gladstone Bank. At PPAC Gladstone Bank, they believe that all banking should be private banking. To learn more, visit pgbank.com today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960.
To the country,
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe,
the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stocks begin June, coming off a volatile month that left the S&P 500 basically unchanged. During the month of May, the benchmark index surged more than 8% after falling within points of a 20% drop from a record. John Stolfus, chief investment strategist with Oppenheimer Asset Management, says he could see the index begin to rise again.
The last time we saw a market that was in the process of coming out of a crisis, which was 2009, the S&P declined 25% from January to March of 2009. It then rallied 64% to the end of the year.
Oppenheimer Asset Management chief investment strategist John Stolfus says it's possible the S&P makes a similar climb, but he admits he may have to adjust his projections.
Well, inflation is still a major focus for markets, Karen, and a top political challenge for the White House. Now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is admitting she got it wrong last year when she said inflation would be temporary.
There have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told CNN she's encouraged prices are coming down, but she can't rule out future shocks.
Well, Secretary Yellen was at the White House yesterday, Nathan, for a rare meeting between President Biden and Fed Chair Jay Powell. Jean Sperling, senior advisor to the president, said the president used the meeting to make clear he respects the Fed's independence as it looks to cool inflation.
We understand that our Federal Reserve is independent. It has, while they have a dual mandate, at times where inflation becomes the highest concern, that they're going to take steps to dampen that inflation. And that's going to be raising interest rates. And the president is going to respect that independence.
Senior advisor to President Biden, Jean Sperling, speaking with Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On, airing weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, the Fed will be in focus again today, Karen, as it's set to start shrinking its $8.9 trillion balance sheet. The central bank also releases its beige book today.
And turning to corporate earnings, Nathan, shares of Salesforce up more than 8% in early trading after the company raised its annual profit forecast yesterday.
And crude oil's on the rise this morning, Karen, trading at $116.52 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. That comes before an OPEC Plus routine meeting tomorrow to discuss supply policy. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:33 on Wall Street, 60 degrees in Central Park. We've got accident cleanup. It's got George Street closed at Ryder Lane in New Brunswick. Details coming up in traffic first. Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul introduced a new package of gun reform bills after mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. It is a total of 10 bills that would tighten New York's gun laws and close loopholes. Among the proposed legislation is increasing the minimum age requirement to buy a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21. The first funerals for victims of last week's mass shooting at Robb Elementary School began yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. Texas State Democratic Senator Roland Gutierrez, who represents Uvalde, says he is calling on Governor Greg Abbott to take action.
We need a special session to fix gun laws, but we also need a special session for this legislature to go and investigate what went wrong here.
State Senator Gutierrez told ABC he is hearing voters' demand for reform to gun laws. The Supreme Court has put on hold a Texas law that would stop social media platforms from deleting posts and accounts. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The hold will allow a constitutional challenge to go forward in a lower court. The tech groups Meta, Twitter, and Google all argue the law would stop them from barring hate speech, including neo-Nazi and Ku Klux Klan or Russian propaganda, or just plainly misinformation and untruths. The authors of the legislation say they are just trying to protect free speech. The high court vote was split in this decision and did not explain its decision at all. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's a new name for a new LIRR terminal. Governor Kathy Hochul says it will be called Grand Central Madison.
For 24 years now, we've been hearing about this project, and everyone always just thought, so it'll get done someday in the future, the future, the future. The future is 2022.
Governor Hochul says the East Side Access Terminal aims to bring 60% more traffic into Manhattan from Long Island at peak times. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stanshire has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. June begins with the Yankees, best record in baseball. Mets the third best, and owners of the biggest lead. Yanks improved to 34-15, beat the Angels at the stadium 9-1. Finally scored runs for Jordan Montgomery. Every Yank had a hit except Aaron Judge. Joey Gallo actually had two hits. Mets also at home beat Washington 10-0. They're 34-17. They've got a 10.5-game lead. In the NL East, 17 Met hits in their fifth one in a row. The Mets have sent the struggling Dom Smith to AAA Syracuse. He was batting just 186. He hit 316 2 years ago. Stanley Cup playoffs, game one in the West, and it wasn't decided until the 14th goal of the night.
Landis Gog trying to get it out. He does! To center ice through the legs of Draisaitl. Intercepted by Landis Gog. Feet from Barry Landis Gog. Open net. You betcha! Oh, captain, my captain! Makes it 8 for the Avalanche with 21.4 seconds to go in the third, and this place has erupted.
ASCE in Denver, Colorado beat Edmonton 8-6. Rangers and Lightning tonight at the Garden to start the East Finals. Tampa Bay, winners of 10 consecutive playoff series, two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. Last NHL three-peat the Islanders in the early 1980s. Rangers did sweep the regular season series with Tampa. They won all three games. 13-time French Open champ Rafael Nadal into the semifinals in Paris. He beat Novak Djokovic in four sets. The match went over 4 hours. It ended past 1 a.m. Nadal will now play Alex Zverev, who took out the 19-year-old Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Got to rest up. Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
Italian company Pininfarina, maker of the Ferrari, is opening an office in New York City. It's second in the U.S. as part of plans to expand in North America. They'll open a satellite office June 1st in Manhattan's Chelsea neighborhood. They'll be joined by creative partner Born Group. Shareholders of Spirit Airlines are being urged to vote no on the proposed merger deal with Frontier Airlines by proxy advisory group ISS. New York City-based JetBlue Airways, however, which countered with a higher bid in April, applauds the report. JetBlue chief Robin Hayes says their bid offers superior value, though officials at Spirit have expressed concern about getting regulatory approval if they were to merge with JetBlue. New Jersey's largest health insurer, Horizon, has just been named by J.D. Power as the state's number one health insurer and top provider for the third year in a row. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thank you, Scott. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about the planned change for the stock ticker symbol for Facebook parent Meta platforms.
I'm Lise Mateo, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting on billions in funding being dedicated to strengthen the U.S. food supply chain.
I'm Scott Carr on WDCH in Washington. I'm reporting on Virginia's further steps to stifle plans for a casino in the state's capital.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Climbing gas prices spell no relief for drivers.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The slaughter at an elementary school in Texas, soon after a similar atrocity at a grocery store in New York State, has stunned a country tragically accustomed to mass shootings. This time, though, lawmakers might actually do something about it. Across the nation, so-called red flag laws, which allow police or family members to ask a court to temporarily suspend an individual's access to guns when he poses a threat to himself or others, are commanding renewed bipartisan support. Such laws are now on the books in 19 states, and the research on their effectiveness is encouraging. In Connecticut, for example, researchers estimate that one life has been saved for every 10 to 20 protection orders issued under the law. Red flag laws may not be perfect, but they are useful, especially since many mass shooters give advance warning before committing their crimes. And after the horrors of recent days, there's no excuse for failing to act. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can listen to Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. S&P futures right now up 7 points. Dow futures up 143. NASDAQ futures are lower by 3 points. Matt Maley of Miller Tabak joins us next as we get ready to kick off the month of June. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Low 70s for highs. More showers likely tomorrow afternoon. Low 80s. Clearing upper 70s for Friday. Currently 60 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures have been struggling for direction this morning amid a debate over the scale of central bank monetary policy tightening that's needed to fight inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. With S&P futures up 7 points this morning, Dow futures up 135. NASDAQ futures that'll change. The DAX in Germany's up 0.4%. And the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6% at $116.49 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. As the victims in the Texas school shooting are laid to rest, President Biden is promising to meet with members of Congress on gun reform. Yesterday, the president, meeting with New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, praised her success in passing a ban on military-style semi-automatic weapons after a white supremacist killed 51 Muslim worshipers in 2019. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets shut out the Nationals 10-0. The Red Sox, Orioles, and A's lost. The Giants won tonight in the NHL Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, as the Rangers host the Lightning. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:48 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and as we get ready to kick off the trading month of June, we are joined this morning by Matt Maley, Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak. Matt, it's always great to speak with you. So we've ended the month of May pretty much right where we started. Where do you see the momentum for stocks now?
Well, I mean, after this, obviously great rally we saw last week, Nathan, things are looking a little bit better. And, it looks like the internals from the market last week and the technicals look pretty good. So there is some upside possibilities here. But, intermediate term and even longer term, I just think that, nothing's really changed. The Fed is
going to continue to be aggressive. I mean, they're now going to start shrinking their balance sheet this month. And this is the type of thing that's going to make it, was always going to make it tough for the market to rally much. And I think it's going to create headwinds as we move through the rest of the year, especially as we get close to this next earnings season, which starts in July. And as we get close to that, I think we're going to see some people start to lower those earnings expectations. And that could be a catalyst for a tough second half of the month.
Well, what do you see as the market impact as the Fed begins to start unwinding its balance sheet here? Has the market fully priced in the end of quantitative easing, or could we still see more room for this market to fall?
Yeah, I don't think it's fully priced it in yet, number one, because the market, they had pushed through their liquidity, their massive liquidity program. They pushed the stock market well above the underlying fundamentals. And I think at 17 times earnings, it's still above those underlying fundamentals, given that interest rates have moved up. At least that tells us on a historical basis. But more importantly, we've also seen how the economy is starting to slow. And to a degree, that was always going to happen, because once the Fed, the stock market has been such an important part of the economy ever since Bernanke really started using it as a tool a dozen years ago. And so now that that fair value has got to come down a little bit because the economy is starting to weaken. So I think it's got further to fall, and I still think people need to play from the defensive side and take any bounces as an opportunity to get defensive.
So where do you see those opportunities then?
Well, it's kind of interesting because one of the things I still see is the energy stocks. The one thing I'm a little worried on a near-term basis, I think investors don't have to chase those stocks right now because they're getting overbought, kind of like the way they did back in March. So let the stocks come to you a little bit. But three stocks that I really like here on a longer-term basis, and these are ones you want to buy very gradually, are big-cap tech names. And you say, oh, wait a minute, if you're bearish, how could you like some big-cap tech names? And I'm just saying some of them have gotten hit hard, and the three I like are Amazon, Google or Alphabet, and Meta, the old Facebook. And the reason those stocks have already gotten knocked down, they've gotten much cheaper than a lot of other tech names. And the thing is, we're not going to know where they're going to bottom. If the broad market falls further, like I think it will, these stocks will also fall a little bit too. But if you buy them every single month for the rest of the year, and you'll get a nice, you'll be able to get a nice little a base of shares by the end of the year, a nice average price on those, then you'll really be sitting really nicely for next year and beyond.
So in our last minute here, Matt, does that mean that names that aren't big cap tech stocks are more vulnerable to moves from the Fed, the unwind of the balance sheet, and the possibility of more aggressive rate hikes for the rest of this year?
Yes, I do. And I do. And if there are other big cap tech names that are still vulnerable, and like I mentioned, those three I just highlighted are vulnerable as well, but just nowhere near as much. And on a long-term basis, they're great, great companies, and they've become much more reasonably priced, and they're going to be the better play. But I do, think that you'll see more downside weakness. And again, the Fed pushed things too far. They left their emergency level of liquidity on long past the emergency. The emergency had ended for the economy. And so we have to go through the pain of the reset of that process. It's going to be painful, but it's normal. It's healthy. And if you kind of pick your spots here and there, you can come out of the other side very, very strongly.
All right. As always, thanks. Matt Maley, Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak. Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. We get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Apple lost its bid for a new trial in a patent dispute. A jury ruled that Apple must pay $300 million in damages for the wireless technology used in iPhones and other products. A federal appeals court ruled that Anheuser-Busch Super Bowl ads that implied that Molson Coors uses corn syrup in its beers were not misleading. Gibson convinced a federal jury in Texas that a distributor sold counterfeit Gibson guitars. The jury awarded Gibson $4,000 in statutory damages after determining that no actual damages were suffered.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
right, Jeff. Thank you. And now another legal story we're watching. A jury has acquitted a former lawyer for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign of lying to the FBI about the identity of his client when provided a faulty tip on then-candidate Donald Trump. The jury verdict in favor of Michael Sussman was the first trial of special counsel John Durham's probe into the conduct of the FBI's Russia investigation. In 2020, Durham got a guilty plea from a former FBI lawyer for altering an email relating to a surveillance request, but he has yet to bring any charges related to the FBI investigation itself. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter in English.
This was Durham's first major courtroom test after a three-year investigation. How big a setback is this for him?
Well, it's a huge setback for special counsel John Durham because this is the very first case that's gone to trial after 3 years of investigating whether federal agents who investigated the 2016 Trump campaign committed any wrongdoing. So in a sense, the special counsel's office had really put everything on the line in this case, even though it ultimately was a fairly simple case which charged a single count of lying to the FBI.
Right. So Sussman presented research that he said suggested a possible secret back channel of communications between computer servers for Russia-based Alpha Bank and the Trump Organization. But that wasn't what the issue was here.
So the whole case turned on the simple question of whether or not Sussman, when he came to the FBI, had the single meeting with the general counsel of the FBI, whether he was there in his individual capacity as an individual citizen giving information to the FBI that affected potential national security issues, or whether he was there on behalf of a client. Now, what the defense argued ultimately successfully was that it didn't really matter because the FBI would have done the same thing had they known that he was there on behalf of the Clinton campaign or on behalf of a tech executive, and ultimately the FBI did investigate the information and find out that it was without basis.
The case depended on the testimony of one witness, James Baker, who was the FBI's general counsel when he met with Sussman alone in September of 2016, and he took no notes of that meeting. He had some credibility problems that the defense brought out.
That's exactly right, and I think that was one of the reasons this was a very difficult case from the start, because it's really one person's word against the other as to what happened at that meeting. And as you mentioned, James Baker did not take notes. So although his testimony was he was 100% confident that Sussman insisted to him that he was not acting on behalf of a client, and that if he had known he was acting on behalf of a client, he may have handled the conversation or the meeting differently. The fact was the defense was able to impeach that testimony somewhat by pointing out that Sussman had represented cybersecurity clients in the past and that Baker had said at various times that he didn't remember certain parts of that conversation. And when he took the witness stand, he said he couldn't remember 116 times when the defense asked him questions. And so it wasn't rock solid testimony.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter in English, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading this show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, S&P futures are up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 132. NASDAQ futures down 12. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.